You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
Right now, I am joined by a very good friend of mine who I've known for years. He is a successful author, comedian, actor, and founder of the website Chip's Money Tips. He's a very funny and a frugal guy. Chip Chinnery.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Pete, how are you?
Good. How are you?
How dare you not mention my film career?
Oh, dear.
I was cop number one in Coyote Ugly, you son of a...
How could I... I'm sorry. Do you still get residual checks from that?
I do. And if you see, if you ever see the movie Coyote Ugly, and I'm the cop who comes in there to break up the bar scene with his other cop buddy. Well, the other cop buddy won an Oscar.
Who is
he? Nick Vallelonga. He wrote the story about his dad into a movie, The Green Book, which was about four or five years ago.
Yeah. Peter Farrelly directed that. Wow.
I was walking by a movie poster. I'm like, Nick Vallelonga? Why do I know that name? Oh, yeah. So. But cop number two won an Oscar. Cop number one, Bupkis.
You've been snubbed for years now when it comes to the Oscars. And I'm going to go to bat for you. Have you ever been brought up on stage with an introduction that called into play your frugality? I thought I was doing something kind of unique there. No. Not. Listen, in a good way. And I have to come clean. Chip helped me years and years ago transfer some credit card debt onto a zero interest credit card. So I've always been kind of amazed at your acumen. Like also, Chip, and we may have mentioned this in the show before, but I had a storage unit in North Hollywood and we were paying like, $1,500 a year for it. And you said, why do you have that? And I said, well, we have a crib, we're going to have another baby and we have this and this. And you said, well, you can buy a new crib for $200. It's a lot cheaper than renting.
And a lot of folks are like, oh, that's all my stuff. And then
And you just think differently. And I'm impressed by that. And that's why I love having you on the show.
Thank you.
We'll talk about the credit cards in a minute, but tell us, first of all, the last time you were here, you were talking about your book, Charging Mount Stand-Up. Really cool book. Really cool. Very unique, too, with the stories you tell from being on the road your first year. How's the book doing?
I think it's done until somebody famous says, hey, dudes, I just read this book and I'm Dave Chappelle and you should all go buy it. You know, until that happens, I think it's run its course. You know, I sell a few a month. So it's kind of finished. It ran its course. But I love what it is. In case people don't know, I'm kind of crazy. I decided when I started doing stand up on the road full time in 88, I was like, well, this could all just turn into one 10-year long blur. So I'm going to take notes. I'm going to keep a journal. I'm going to take pictures at every gig. And I did that. I did that for 12 years. And I compiled my first year into a book. And it has almost 500 pictures of the other comics I worked with and me and, you know, little things from the comedy clubs, little calendars or tickets, all these little things, minutia and memorabilia. So it's packed in there with all the stories of what happened. And I think it's cool.
I think it's really cool. And I love that you did that. You were nice enough to share a picture of me from 30 years ago with a bloated face and big, crazy Christopher Penn hair. And high. I had like mom jeans on. I don't know what the look was, what I was going for then, but maybe I was just trying to get a laugh.
That's how 89 was. Everybody was doing it.
If people wanted to get a copy of the book and kind of keep the steam going, where can they find it? And I'll say this, I assume everything could be found on Amazon. That guy's rich enough. Is there a mom and pop website people might want to look to buy it from to help out the local mom and pop interneters?
I tried that, and then it turns out it's just more convenient to use the monster.
Of course.
Amazon will hook it up. So if you go to chipchinnery.com, it's the first thing that pops up. So chipchinnery.com, you'll see the book right there. You can click on it. It'll take you to Amazon. And I think it's nice. I think you'll enjoy it. I did an audiobook if you want to hear more of my pear-shaped tones whistling through your ears. So the audiobook's all on there too, on all on the Amazon.
Sure.
It's an Audible. Amazon owns Audible, and Audible made the book. So if you have an Audible account, you can go there.
You were able to book. You were able to book yourself to narrate the book. That's a coup.
Yes. I knew a guy, and like, what's the guy? Then I knew that my name was on the book, so that made me think I had a shot.
That sparked your interest.
Although that doesn't always work.
Well, check out Charging Mount Stand-Up if you can, folks, if you're interested in stand-up comedy and what I would say the unglamorous side of stand-up, the very basic side where people earn their chops. To me, that's the charm and the fun of the book. And you say you've got ticket stubs in there and pictures. It's like a great scrapbook for some people you might have heard of and want to know more about. I think it's great.
Yeah, like my opening act, Dave Chappelle. I closed the book down with him because we did a diner in Alexandria, Virginia, on a weekend back in the late 80s, early 90s, any place that looked like it could seat people and could put a microphone somewhere had stand up. And it just, that was a diner called the American Grill in Alexandria, Virginia. And they took out a booth and they put up a microphone and a little stage and a speaker. We're 10 feet from the salad bar. And
the station.
Jeff Hatz opened up and one of his lines goes, "Uh-oh, somebody likes Thousand Island." and then Dave went up in the middle. Oh, he's funny. He's funny. Dave went up in the middle and then I went down and I have pictures of him there and I'm sure people are like, "I don't remember. That's Dave Chappelle." Oh my God. Oh, he was 17 at the time.
Funny.
Yeah. But other people like Bill Hicks, Brian Regan, Rita Rudner, who else make appearances in there? Ron Tater Salad White.
Tater Salad White.
A lot of folks who went on to big and better things.
I think it's great that you have Chappelle in there. Have you seen his new, did you see him on Saturday Night Live or any of his new stand-up specials? How do you, he's like one of the most cutting edge, one of the most respected stand-ups right now. Do you watch all of his stuff? How do you think he's aged? He seems like one of those guys that has just brought his whole life with him and his perspective and has such a unique take on everything.
I thought he was very relaxed on SNL, like in almost having fun in a way that I hadn't seen. Like on a couple of his specials, I didn't like how he laughed at his jokes because that's kind of a pet peeve.
I agree with you.
A lot of comics might have that, like, dude, this is the, 100th time you've done that? So you're just acting, and we all know that. So that's a little irritant to me.
Or it's a nervous tick of some sort, yeah.
That could be, too. And whatever Mr. Chappelle wants to do, that's fine.
Right.
But I liked his performance on SNL. It's funny because I think of him as two people. I think of him as the world-famous Dave Chappelle. But then I'm also like, oh, that's right. I have a video of him bringing me up at Garvin's in D.C. back when he was 17. And it's weird. Like when I was writing this book, I was like, well, I should put the video on my website so people could see it. And so I did. But it's weird. It's like he's like two people to me. He's like he's the guy who's a few years younger than me, and he's the guy who's 17.
That's really
interesting.
But he's
done pretty well.
And he has. And he's so brazen on stage. He's not afraid to address anything. And the couple times I've been around him, I mean, I've said two words to the guy, but he was very quiet and reserved, and he just kind of sat there. He's not like his stage persona in the sense that, well, not that he's outgoing on stage, but I was just surprised how quiet he was.
Yeah.
So
just hanging out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But that Jeff Hatz, man, he has always cracked me up. I've never even seen him do stand up, but just hanging around him up at Rick Messina's place playing wiffle ball on the weekends and watching football games. I love Jeff. What was the line he said again about the Thousand Island?
Uh-oh, who likes Thousand Island? Just somebody loading it on their lettuce. Somebody likes Thousand Island.
Oh, that's funny. I got to write that down.
Think Tim Conway. That's kind of how I think of Jeff Hatz.
That's interesting.
Start with Tim Conway.
We used to play these great.
The alive Tim Conway, not the dead one.
Well, of course.
I'm sorry. That's inappropriate. There's a Tim Conway Jr., and that's not who I'm talking about.
Somehow that's more insulting to Jeff Hatz, I think, than Tim Conway, even, that you're comparing him to a guy who's no longer with us. But hey, let's turn to finances, Chip. Chip Chinnery is my guest.
Sure.
He's the founder of Chip's Money Tips. Check it out. So we're kind of in tax season. Would you call this tax season? I've been getting W-2s like crazy. What can you tell us? What do you tell? I'm trying to figure out a way. Like, you're not an accountant, but you know a lot of stuff.
I have no, I know stuff. I'm like a guy at the end of a bar who says, you know what you should do. That's kind of who I am. I don't have a finance degree. I got my degree in business psychology. I am not an accountant. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a certified financial planner. I'm nobody. I'm just a guy.
You didn't hang a shingle out on the road. You're the guy someone in the bar would say, hey, go out back. This guy's got some really good advice for you.
Here's what you do, kid. Right. Put away 10% of your income. You'll never be poor. What? So, yeah, I've learned things in life. And I remember about 15 years ago, I said to my buddy, I was like, hey, should I do like a late night infomercial? Back when that was still, I guess, the thing. I don't know if still is. He's like, no, dude, you got to do a blog like the kids do. So I started Chip's Money Tips and I just started giving advice, little things, what I think are common sense. But I'm surprised that other people don't see it that way. But I'm happy to tell them what I know. And it's ways to get free money for certain things or. You know, which credit card is going to be the best thing for you? What, why you want to, it goes all the way to why you should have a trust or a living will. So it gets to those kind of boring things, but it's more fun to say, hey, go get this credit card and you can save yourself hundreds of dollars or get yourself $750 for spending this much money. It's that is, by the way, the kind of things that are out there.
And this is what I like about what you do. Like, even though you're not an accountant, like you've opened my eyes to the thing we just talked about with the storage facility. Yeah. Why am I paying $1,500 a year when I could sell this and buy a new crib 3 years later for about the same money and save $1,500 a year for 3 or 4 years? I mean, a lot of people don't think like that. And you do.
Yeah, I call it my crazy. Everybody's got their crazy, and my crazy is that I think that way. So that you know, I always said I was born in the Depression. I just feel like it's like I take issue when somebody tries to take money from me or my friend's money. You know, so I'm kind of weird like that. I know it's a weird thing, but I like to it's like I'm like, hey, why don't you not do that? And why don't you do this? Huh?
Oh. And you're and that adds up. Like I'm the guy that will say it's $2 or whatever, it's $50, you know, and that adds up. And that drives my wife crazy. Like, because when I think of all the money I probably thrown away over the years, when you add that up, that's a 401k, you know, that's like something. Yeah. And how do you tell people to train themselves to think more about this stuff? If you can.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I also can go so far as to go, first of all, don't go crazy about it. It's just money. It's just ink on a paper.
Sure.
And actually, it's not even that. We don't actually see that anymore. It gets deposited and it's ink on a website. You don't even know what it is, but it makes some people sick for not having enough of it or being in debt. So I try to be, you know, the view from above. What is like a 10,000 mile view above? What do they call it, Pete? When they see you seeing the big picture.
The all 24 cam, something like that.
I don't know.
Well,
but then also,
go ahead, Chip.
Oh yeah. But just I think it's very easy to start going, what? It's a $7 coffee, but it really does add up. And then you can go, well, how much could it add up to? Well, if it's $5 a day, that's $1,825 a year.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, for 10 years, that's 18,000.
Wow.
Oh wow. I could. Ooh, that'd be nice to have that kind of money. Yeah.
Make your
but
coffee
then on the other
home.
Side of it.
Chip, hold that thought. Okay, we got to do a quick thing. We'll come back and pick it up right there with coffee.
Sure.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Chip Chinnery is joining us here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Do you think the NFL is rigged? You think they're trying to get the Chiefs to head back to the Super Bowl to see if they can three-peat? Was there a conspiracy yesterday? A lot of people on social media up in arms over referee calls. I don't think there was. But it's open for debate. Let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Personally, I think people see conspiracy everywhere now, but I would be very curious to know what you think. There's a lot of money to be made. That's probably why people think that. But my guest right now is Chip Chinnery. He is
Pete.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What, Chip?
I'm a Bengals fan, and I think that the refs are out to hurt my Bengals.
Well, you're talking to a Bears fan, so I can feel your pain. Brutal. Ugh. What do you think? Do you think that was a first down yesterday?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell. It wasn't conclusive.
Oh, that one, yeah, it wasn't conclusive. I think sports generally like to have dynasties. That's why they don't complain about the Yankees and Dodgers buying teams, because I've heard them say that they think it's important to have big winning teams, but I don't know. And it's kind of cool, the idea of a three-peat in the Super Bowl era. That'd be cool, but I was rooting for the Bills,
but I was too.
My buddy Blake's house, and he's a Chiefs fan.
Oh dear. So you had to temper
it on the DL.
Probably smarter. You won't get any casserole. So, hey, Chip, finish your story. We were talking about, you know, buying coffee over the course of years. It could be 18 grand. And that is really eye opening. What about for those of us who aren't that patient, who can't see that far down the road?
Well, that's the other thing. It's like, if you know that $5 a day is $1,825 a year, you could take the other side instead of like starving your desire. Like, what if you really like that coffee and it actually really makes you happy? It's only $5. But if you can find a way to make $5 a day more, like, you know, are you an Uber driver? You know, you can, if you drove and picked up $35 once in a drive, that's enough money to cover your $5 a day habit.
For a week.
Coffee.
Yeah.
So in a way it's like, hey, you know, I splurge for the coffee, but you know what? So I just drive for Uber once a week and I pick up the extra money.
That's interesting.
So if you can make a little extra that way, or however else you make your extra money. So I'm looking at you, Schwabe.
There is something to be said though, for being happy though. You're right. And making yourself happy, right?
If you're just going to starve yourself and just be like, you don't need to. Yeah. I mean, make yourself happy a little bit. To get yourself going. If it really gets you going, or if you're just like, if you're someone who's just, I don't know, I just shove stuff in my face because I'm just trying to make myself happy and I don't know what's going to make that happen, then that's a bigger issue. But if you like your latte with your caramel in it, you know, go for it.
But I think your message is be cognizant of how much you're spending and if that's worth it to you. Because to me, that's the big thing. Like I had that revelation probably 15, 20 years ago. Like, oh my God, I'm spending a ton of money on coffee. I got young kids. Their college wasn't paid for. It's like, I'm going to make my coffee at home. You know, it's simple stuff like that. Do you have, there's all this talk about tariffs. We've been dealing with inflation the last 4 years. What is a guy like you, do you anticipate things happening or trends where you sort of like, you know, if inflation continues, how do you combat that? If at all, if you can.
You know, I don't pay too much attention to it. I've always said that I ignore recessions because I have my first nickel. I'm able to spend on things until things get back to normal. So I don't really have to cut back. I've not been in a situation where I had to make hard choices. So I don't have to do that. But I also bought my third car in my lifetime, and my folks or my friends here, I'm 60. So yeah, I just bought my third car, and my last car was 25 and a half years old. But I bought it. I knew I wanted to buy it in December because I know that's the best time of the year to get a car. And I wanted to get it because I thought that if tariffs are going to happen, prices are going to go up. Maybe not for the 1-year-old car like I bought, but I just thought, well, let me just get it done now. It's long enough. I've had a quarter century with this car.
Jeez.
And then I sold that through a Facebook fan page group for my car, and somebody gave me $1,300.
So you got something back. That's pretty. See, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. People don't understand when is the best time to buy a car. You could Google it, but you could hear it tonight too from Chip of Chip's Money Tips.
Yeah.
Talk about. First of all, let me just ask you this: Chip's Money Tips. What do you have? Do you have a general tip you can just give people right now?
Well, it's new every January that rolls along. I think everybody's been spending their money on their credit cards, running up for the Christmas season, and it almost dovetails into the thing you started talking about, just to how to get out of this high interest credit card into a lower interest credit card. And I don't know if people know this, but if you have credit card debt and you're on a card that's, you know, you're paying 20-25% interest on it, you can get a new card and transfer the balance from your first card over to this new card. And the new card, they have promotions for months, even up to 21 months at 0%. So you can move your balance from your one card that has a high interest rate over to this new card. And all you have to do is make the minimum monthly payment on the new card, and you'll keep your 0% interest rate for the term of whatever the deal is, like 21 months or 18 months. So I have those at Chip's Money Tips, and just total transparency. If you go to chipsmoneytips.com and you upper right-hand corner, Chip's favorite credit card offers, and click on balance transfer credit cards, it'll take you to a different site that's secure, and you can apply for the card. And if you get it, I get a little jingle jangle. So. Just so you know,
Say, like I mentioned at the top when you came on the show, you helped us do that and get, you know, pay those things down where you're not just paying interest. That's such a great bit of advice. You just have to be on top of stuff. So we'll have more with Chip Chinnery from Chip's Money Tips after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Only lover I'm ever gonna need, a soft, sweet little girl's tongue. The boss. Yeah. We got Frank Herman's Woo! Here in studio now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, brother.
So great to have you, as always.
Yeah, I appreciate when you ask me, man. Anytime. I love this stuff.
I want to say, I just said this to you off the air, but I want to say it again because we had, we came and saw your show. My wife and two kids and I went down to the Meyer on December 21st, and I told you that kicked off our Christmas season. I remember we ate at Nakashima, and then we went to, and it was so much fun. And it put us, it was the best Christmas ever. And I'm not saying it was just because of your show, but like that 2 week stretch started with that. It was like one of the bookends.
Sure.
And it was a blast. Yeah. It was the first time I had seen your show in so long, and you guys crushed it. I highly recommend people check that out because it's such a great festive show.
It really is. Our Christmas show, it's something new every year. Yeah. And next year, this is my idea for next year. Tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
The who's and the what's. You got Whoville. Okay.
Oh, yeah,
but the what's live next door. So they might be a little bit different, okay? And there's a competition. There's a competition on decorations and baking. So and then hilarity ensues.
I think you'll be one of like your things where you sit down and 90 minutes later you have a show.
I'll have a show.
My daughter all Christmas was doing your First of all, I the voice you did to play Clark Griswold, it was like a Ted Knight.
It was
a cross between something. It was so funny.
Yes, it was. I was the authoritarian father from the 1950s.
And then you were like doing this gallop where you dance, and she did that all break. It was so much fun. Thank you again for helping us get in the Christmas spirit. Yeah. How different are all the shows? You do one every year. That's got to be tough to keep it fresh.
Yeah, it is, you know, because there's only so many Christmas shows. So I got to tell you what, we've done spoofs on, you know, the Christmas Carol. modern times. We've done, gone back in time. We've done Santa. We've done elves. We've done the Elf on the Shelf. I mean, we did the sad Christmas where someone loses their wife and they're at a Christmas tree farm and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all, you pull a whole, I know, it's we still make it funny. But there's always a new idea. You can keep it fresh. And Christmas humor is so fun to write. And when we do a Christmas show, that's really our only show that's rated G, okay? Everything else is PG-13,
oh, really?
Yeah. Even though it was a little PG, but most of our shows are PG-13, like Saturday Night Live a little bit. It's a blast writing a Christmas show because we get a lot of the kids out like, hey, Mom and Dad, can we go see Anchorman? No.
All right, so let's. I know we have you for a limited time. You're, this is so cool. You stop by here on your way to rehearsal, basically down the street. It's so much fun. But let's get this into. This is if you're watching on the stream. This is Frank's next show, next big show at the Meyer, right?
Anchorman, Frank Burgundy, Stay Elegant, Green Bay. So we spoof Anchorman. A lot of the spoofs of that. Of course, we got Brick Hibbard on weather, and we got Champ Hibbard on sports, and of course Paul Fontana, the Eye in the Sky. But the whole thing is 1974. What happened in 1974? Well, the Nixon left. You know,
the big deal.
Yeah, with Deep Throat and all that stuff. And also, it was the Equal Opportunity Act that came out that women could get credit without getting a co-signer from a male. Did you know this? 1974. So the whole show is based upon women getting their due. So actually my wife, before because we make fun of the opposite sex in this show.
Sure.
But it's all in good fun. And my wife, actually, before we do the show, she's going to come out, because I always say, hey, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and she's going to come out and do a disclaimer. Folks, this is 1974, and this is comedy that shouldn't offend you, because it's meant in comedy. But it will. It's kind of like, well, I guess, you, like Archie. Or not, no, I'm sorry, All in the Family.
Archie Bunker. Yeah.
You know, women's place was in the home. Well, I as Anchorman, a woman should bring me coffee piping hot. That's what a woman should do.
With my Raleigh Fingers mustache. I love that.
Yeah, and a smoke.
I think what would be offensive is if they rolled back that. Yes. Like, joking is one thing.
Yeah.
Don't take it away, though, right?
Yeah.
That sounds really fun, Frank. Yeah. I love it. And what a great thing to parody, Anchorman.
And all the songs are from 1973, 74, 75. Okay. So there's some great, great music. ELO in there.
Oh, my God. Oh, I love ELO.
So I know. There's some great, great music. And a little bit of the disco, too. A little bit of the disco touching on that, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get to a song, you got another big show kind of up in my hood.
Yeah.
Marinette.
Saturday night,
people in Marinette listening. It's the Let Me Be Frank tribute show at the Theater on the Bay, February 1st at 7 p.m. There are still a few tickets if you want to move quickly. I recommend this highly. That theater's been redone. They have new sound, beautiful. New seats. It's great. It's right on the bay. It's beautiful. So check out Frank's show Saturday night. I know my folks are going.
Yeah.
What can people expect to see
this
there?
This is our Las Vegas show that we do in Vegas every year, but we're not. We usually play Vegas in January. We didn't want to do it this year.
Okay.
Family, you know, kids.
Sure.
So we decided to, we did it at the Schwaben on PAC. We had 550 folks for that show. Nice. And then we're coming up this Saturday to Marinette to do it. And what it is our tribute to, like, I do Cher and Elvis. Okay. I'm an impersonator. My wife is probably the best Reba McEntire impersonator will ever see. We also have an Adele impersonator. She looks and sounds just like Adele. And the one funny story about Sarah, who does Adele, when we were in Las Vegas, Adele had canceled her concert. So we advertised in Las Vegas, no, Adele is at the Plaza Casino.
She lives.
And we had so many folks come see the show from other casinos. It was awesome. And then we got Paul Evenson as Neil Diamond. He is one of the best. My brother Mike does George Jones. Looks like him. Sounds
like
him.
Is he in the show?
Yeah. The possum. And then we have Casey Schumacher, who does Karen Carpenter. Looks, sounds just like her. And of course, Lisa Borley, who does Barbara Streisand. So what you get? You get four songs out of each one of those artists. And a little bit of a twist the way we do things funny. Like, I'll come out. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate you coming out. I know what you're thinking to yourself, man. That guy looks a lot like Kurt Russell. That's right. I'm Kurt Russell doing Elvis Presley. That's who I'm impersonating.
You must hear so many different people, because there's times I think you look like Alec Baldwin.
Oh, I get it.
I totally see Kurt Russell. Yep. Elvis, obviously. Oh, yep. You must hear a ton of people.
Well, it's so funny. People come after the show years ago. Wow, you look just like Elvis Presley. I'm like, have you looked at him?
Yeah, not recently.
I don't look anything like Elvis Presley, but you put a little makeup on, you make your hair black and black, and put that southern drawl in your voice and sing a little bit, man. Yeah. That's all you to get that big baritone voice going.
That's so great. Yep, all right. So check out, if you're listening in Marinette, check out the show. It's Let Me Be Frank tribute show, February 1st, Saturday night, 7 p.m.
This Saturday.
Fantastic. It's in 3 days, folks. So move quickly. Say hello to my parents. I would be there, but I have this football fundraiser that I told you about every year. But I think, and it's the exact same hours. But if you guys hang out in Marinette.
You're there?
You're going to party or you're going to drive home?
You know, we got to drive home. we're all older. We don't do that anymore. I can't tell you the last time I really had a drink. It's crazy.
Really?
You know, I mean, I have, don't get me wrong, but it's like, it used to be a thing where we've done this for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, we used to have a bar in town in St. Brennan's, and that they'd feed us free drinks every night. Every night we'd go down there deal. And, cause we'd bring the party down there after the show. It's hard every morning when you got kids.
I know.
You know,
you got a lot of kids.
I do. I have a lot of kids.
They make you earn it.
That's right.
I know I was out. I had a comedian friend of mine, Tom Clark, good Wisconsin.
I know
Tom.
Yeah.
He was there last week. Yeah. So I met him out. Yeah. There was a band playing in the bar. It was like an old school bar band.
Sure.
Just playing. It was really fun. I hadn't been out in a while either. I'm not as old as you, Frank. Quite. I'm getting there though. Hey, you want to play something for us?
I would. Can I want to tie in some stories that you were doing.
Absolutely.
As I'm driving in and it's like you touched everything that I want. The YMCA. He works at the YMCA. I want to tell you a story about 1992. I'm working out at the YMCA, and in walks this blonde guy with long hair, skinny little guy, and he wants to bench, and he wants me to spot. Brent Michaels from Poison. I spotted Brent Michaels.
Funny.
They did their show at, I think that's when, what's his name? Who was our quarterback at the time? Got up and sang every
Don
rose.
Mikowski?
Don Mikowski.
Kind of looked like Brett.
So that's my YMCA story. And then curmudgeon.
What did he bench? What did Brett Michaels bench?
He put up 135. Ooh. So it wasn't that impressive.
He's a rock star.
It wasn't that impressive. Huh? Right. Anyway, but he was tiny. I couldn't believe how tiny he was. And I'm like, oh, sure, I'll spot for you. Let me take some plates off. My curmudgeon story. We had a band at Doc's Comedy Club. I don't know if our house band was called Curmudgeon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Kenny Dennison was the singer. Pat Hibbert played bass, my partner.
Yeah.
And Steve Arndt played guitar. And I thought of that right away when you brought that up. And then, of course, the other thing you were talking about, Fred Klett, one of my favorite comedians
Fred's
of all
a big
time.
Guy. Yeah.
He's a cerebral comic, and he was just made you think a little bit.
He was very his comedy was very cerebral, which was strange because Fred was not particularly bright. No, he's a great guy. I've been trying to get him up to this football fundraiser for years.
Expensive?
No. Fred's such a good guy. He said, Pete, I will come up there and do it for free just to hang out like we used to back in the day. Because I haven't seen Fred in probably 20 years. And I said, look, I'm going to pay you, but I'd love to see you. But I haven't heard back from him in a couple years. So it could be me.
Could be you.
Maybe he thinks I stole his money from the YMCA in Grand Forks. I don't know.
You really got your wallet stolen. That sucks so bad.
Sure did.
And talking about wiring money, how did you even know how to do it?
I learned.
You learned.
Because I was desperate. I wouldn't know how to do it now.
Yeah.
Venmo, I guess. But nothing like that back then.
Crazy.
It was pretty scary. But Frank Hermes is in the studio, folks, hanging out. He's got a new show opening. He's going to be in Marinette Saturday. And I love when he brings his guitar.
Yeah, I thought I'd do a 70s song because that's what we're doing, the 70s song. And this is one from Elvin Bishop. And it came in my head as I was driving here. Let's see what it sounds like. Haven't played it in a while. I was just practicing it backstage.
All right.
Backstage. Down in Jamaica, they got lots of pretty women. Steal your money, then they take your heart. Oh, but Lonesome Sue, she's in love with old Sam. Takes him from the fire to the frying pan. On and on, he just keeps on trying. And he smiles when he feels like crying. On and on, on and on, on and on. Remember this one?
I love that song.
Yeah.
What's the name, though?
It's Bishop? Called Stephen Elvin Bishop. Stephen Bishop.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Poor Jimmy sits alone in moonlight. Saw his woman kiss another man. So he steals a ladder, steals the stars from the sky. Puts on Sinatra and starts to cry. On and on, he just keeps
trying, and he smiles when he feels like crying. On and on, on and on, on and on. Well, the first time is the last time. Make her feel so sad. If you know it, show it. Hold on tight. Don't let her say goodbye. Ooh. Got the sun on my shoulder, got my toes in the sand. Woman's left me for some other man. But I don't care, I'll stay here and stay till throw out my heart and see where it lands. On and on, I'll just keep on trying. And a smile when I feel like crying. On and on, on and on, on and on. On and on, on and on, on and on. On and on, on and on, on and on. Ooh.
Yeah, that is some serious range, brother. Wow.
Oh,
that's so, is that in your, is that in Anchorman?
No. Let me tell you a story about that show, song. So I performed that song in, I don't even know what show it was. And that was Stephen Bishop's songs were bought by BMG. I did not know this because I pay ASCAP BMI to play songs. Well, yeah. BMG is a different company and I didn't have the rights to play that song. So somebody came and saw me sing that song and I had I put it on YouTube. And they told me I couldn't perform it. So I thought I'd do it right now. All the
they
time.
They can't do anything now.
They
it's
can't
done.
Do it now.
I'll tell you my Richard Marx story when we come back.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
like the Stephen Bishop of the 80s or 90s, whatever. Yeah. All right, Frank Hermans is in the studio. We have him for a few more minutes. This is Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Honey, you are my shining star. Don't you go away.
I found this the other night. I totally forgot about this song, and I'm like, that is a gem.
It's one of the best.
So I sent it to the K-Man. He lined it up. Now we have it.
You got a slow dance
file.
With your girl with that one.
Yeah. I like that song so much, I would almost slow dance by myself. I wouldn't care about the looks. I would dance like
would
nobody's watching.
Feel? Would you cop a feel yourself?
Of myself? Yeah. Absolutely.
Of course.
I would
too.
Slow dance like no one's watching. Yeah. So it's good to have you here, buddy. You know, I got to tell you, too, when we went to your show, Frank's Christmas, I could swear, because you were just here before that, like a week before, couple weeks before, you brought Harrison, your son, who sang Dear Prudence. It was great.
Yeah.
He had a there was a guy that looked just like him.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Harrison, I go, we got to get you back on the show sometime. You know, and he looked, this guy looked at me, I go, Harrison? I'm like, and he goes, no. I'm like,
did he say his
nice
name
night.
Was Jack? Did he say his name was Jack?
No.
Okay.
Do you have another son that looks like
Jack?
You?
Well, kind of. I mean, they all look alike. Jack, did he sing before the show opened?
No. Your other son, he was good too.
Okay,
though,
no. Then that wasn't Harrison, it was someone else.
I said enough. That I think he would know. I know you and your
that
son,
I don't know
but
it was,
it was very.
That's funny.
So 70s music. That's going to be fun. Yeah. You have kids that are very musical, Frank.
Yeah,
I have kids that are interested in the entertainment business. What do you tell yours? Like, how do you tell them to go about it if that's what they want to do?
Well, what I tell them is first get a real degree.
Well, you know, and Harrison is going into ninth grade, and he wants to go to Juilliard.
I mean, I said, first of all, you got to get 4.0, and he is an exceptional musician. I mean, he's playing at he could play professionally right now. He could play with me. He can read. He can. He's an amazing drummer. And I said, if you want to go to Juilliard, first of all, you got to be able to read music. You got to be able to go in. They'll give you a tablature and music, and you don't even know the song, but you can play it. Yeah. So he's learning that skill right now. And but I said, you know, music is a tough. Entertainment is tough. Always have something in the back. I had a marketing degree and a communications degree. And I went into business before I got into theater and stuff. He said, Dad, can I take over the theater? I go, you got to know it ain't just performing.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of other stuff, marketing and the business end of it, and being able to not spend money, which is hard.
Absolutely.
Which is hard.
That's really
and
interesting.
And spend it when you can.
Yeah, because what you do is so much more about just the entertainment. Yeah. You also told me you built, when you owned Doc's Comedy Club, when mm-hmm. I first met you, you built the stage. You built, like, you're a pretty good carpenter, too.
That's
you
my brother.
You build sets.
Oh, that's okay. My brother Mike does that. I have, okay, to build anything you need people.
Yeah.
You know, you can be that one person, but you got to have that carpenter. You got to have that plumber. I have all of those guys in my back pocket because of relationships. What's the one thing to being successful? It's relationships and the people you know and the camaraderie that you have. It's not money.
Right.
It's the people you know that help you.
It's like in any other business. Mm-hmm. And the thing I would tell people, like when you say have a fallback, I say, go for what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You will see so many peripheral things open up. I know where I lived, even in LA, most of the parents at the school, they maybe went out there to be actors. Mm-hmm. Now they're casting directors. They drive Correct. Trucks on the studio. They're carpenters, electricians. Mm-hmm. It's all kinds of stuff. So, and I don't think people realize that. No,
it takes that one chance. A performer of mine, Jack Janowitz, is out in LA, and he's the Aladdin at Walt Disney. Okay. And he decided, because he's so good, he was so talented, was on American Idol. He was actually on the series. He got cut.
Nice.
But Jack got his degree in, what's it called when you're a court reporter and you type?
Stenographer.
Yeah.
Guy makes like
180 grand a year out in LA doing stenography. And he goes from every, you know, courthouse to courthouse. So he does that on the side. Plus he can still audition.
Those guys make that much money?
They make huge money. And he's contract labor. It's not like he works for the district attorney. He just goes where people need him. So the big cases. That's why he makes the money. And he just brings his little thing. He can type like 300 words a minute.
And does it have to be like perfect grammar? Or do you just get the gist?
You just get the gist. And he can read it. Then he can, I don't know who read looks. Because if you look at a stenographer, it's like 20 buttons. That isn't. It's not like a typewriter.
Oh,
so
really?
You're right. Okay. I don't know if you're doing phrases. I don't know how they do it, but apparently he's really good at it.
If more people knew how much those guys made, they'd take typing.
When Austin came to me, Dad, I want to go to Juilliard. I go, great. Out of state tuition. I go, first of all, we need to get a scholarship if you do that. And one of the ways to do it is auditioning and getting your craft and straight A's and always have a backup with what you're doing. You can always, and I hate to say this, you can always get a job and do music on the side and make
Absolutely.
Money. You can do that.
And have that outlet.
You can do
for
that.
Sure.
Because you need to, you need to be able to sustain yourself. If you make it right away, great. You know, you got to get that one break.
You do. And you know, I've met several people.
Yeah.
Like myself included in a way. I moved to LA within 3 months. I got booked on a VH1 show with Jim Gaffigan. Yeah. It was the two of us. And I was like, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah. I'm going.
I'm coasting. And then the show doesn't, we shot one episode. It got canceled. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it's very scary, but I think that can almost be a drawback. I think people that do well have some grit. You know what I mean? Like, and you develop it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to learn, my God, this is not easy. I got lucky, you know? But
you had filmmaking, you had comedy, you had all these other things that you could do.
Yeah. But I wasn't a master of any of them. You know what I mean? Like, I made my living in stand-up. I learned how to make a movie when I made a movie and just surrounded myself with good people.
Okay.
I fully support, like, what you're telling Harrison, I think, is great. Get as much education as you can for whatever it is.
Yeah. And I always tell him, I'm a hack musician, I'm a hack actor, and I'm a hack comedian. I'm not the best. I'm just good at all.
Yeah.
And if you want to be good, you got to be great.
But that's cool. That's like a lifetime achievement award. You've done enough stuff that you're good at. It's pretty cool. And Frank, I think you're really cool. Thank you so much, buddy, for coming in.
It's funny you say that. I was just nominated for a lifetime achievement award for the BAMMies, Bay Area Music.
Oh man.
Yeah.
If you need
all that is getting old.
Well, and lasting, surviving.
Yes, yes.
I'll be your plus one. All right, no offense, Amy. All right, Frank Frank Hermes, check him out in Marinette Saturday night. Anchorman Hello Green Bay opens February 6th. Mm-hmm. So get your tickets. An institution, thanks, your buddy. Thank you so much.
I'm going to go to rehearsal.
Frank Hermes, he's going to go sing like the wind. All right, we'll be right back with more Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's come together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.